FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, October 21st, 2024, episode 15. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kowisenberg DFS, joined by my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant on Twitter. Mike, the eve of the NBA regular season. I know it feels like maybe six or seven episodes in a row I've said I'm getting more and more excited, but it's here, man. Here we go.
I have to tell you, I can't remember, Zach, a more exciting month in sports in a long time. Now, yes, I'm located in northern New Jersey. I'm right outside of New York. So there's the Yankees and the Mets. And, of course, our leadership here at FTN is into the Mets. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. But that New York Liberty game last night, lights out stuff. And I have a lot to say about it. We get to stock up, stock down. You have the NBA around the corner. We got Jason Tatum. We have the Knicks. We have LeBron. I mean, it is a great time to be alive. And I have not even mentioned the start of the college basketball season. Zach, see, you're proud of me already. See?
Yeah, I love it, man. And just to hit real quick on that WNBA final series, I know we're going to talk about it. We had some matching stock up, stock downs when we went into the document today. But yeah, man, five games, fantastic series, game winners, controversial calls. We'll talk about it here. Let's run through a little bit of the news first, Mike, and then we're going to get to an opening night slate preview and talk about some other futures that we wanted to discuss that we haven't yet here on the Fast Break. But let's run this transition here. Trey Murphy III signs a four-year, $112 million contract extension with the New Orleans Pelicans. A number of extensions being announced or not announced this week. But Trey Murphy here this morning on Monday, the biggest of them, $100 million for Trey Murphy. Not bad.
Yeah, we're a little differing opinions on the Pelicans, but I would think you're higher on them than I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, Zach, I think this was critical for them because he is a very key piece. I see them as more of an up-tempo scoring like team. I don't see them locking down in the half court, but Trey Murphy can hit big, big shots. He is a great chess piece. I like them. I think they had to do this because they're staying with the vision of how they've built the Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, right, we've talked a lot about Brandon Ingram here in the preseason and the situation surrounding his contract, and maybe he's not super happy. They're looking to trade him. Whether he gets traded or just his, you know, leaves in free agency if they're not able to find a new home, Trey Murphy is the guy that's going to be taking over that type of role, right? Probably never going to be as good of an individual scorer as Brandon Ingram is, but again, playing that role, taking those minutes, right? And maybe a little bit better defender on the other end as well. So, and it's not a crazy number, right?
No,
less than 30 per year, I believe, right? So that tradable in its own right, if they get to that point years down the road, congrats to Trey Murphy on his deal. Congrats to Moses Moody. 3 years, $39 million extension with the Warriors. And look, man, like there's a big gap between those two numbers, right? But Moses Moody, a guy who really hasn't been able to kind of put his stamp on this Warriors rotation. He does have a role though, and I think going to be counted on even more this season. And this contract extension is just further confirmation of that, right? The Warriors keeping him around, three-year extension. He's a big part of this Warriors' future as they transition out of the Steph Curry era.
Yeah, Moses Moody has been a lights-out shooter since his days back in Arkansas. And if given the opportunity, Zach, now that he's entering his fourth season here, he can make big shots late in the game if the Warriors need him to do that. Note his 36% three-point shooting, despite the fact that he has moved up his attempts now to basically three, maybe a little bit over per game. So I like this one as well. You say Trey Murphy. I say that's we have a poor man's Trey Murphy and Moses Moody. That type of player, he can make big shots. I would not be surprised to see him hover around 12, 13 points a game this year and us to have a couple late night highlights of Moses Moody hitting a game winner. I like him. I like him. I like his persona. I like the way he plays. And like you said, they're ushering in the new time now with the Warriors. He's a more critical piece than the average person will realize.
Yeah, I think this has the potential to look like a steal if he's able to take that leap, right? And I think, you know, we've said that about Moses Moody. We've said that about Jonathan Kuminga really every offseason since they were drafted. But they haven't had a ton of opportunity, especially Moody, right? Kuminga got plenty of starts last year, but going to keep my eye on that. Could turn into a very, very nice contract for the Warriors. On the flip side, we've got guys, like I mentioned, not going to get offered an extension by their current teams. One is Bones Highland. We love Bones, especially from a fantasy perspective. When you get a night where Bones Highland is going to project for a ton of minutes, we love putting him in our DFS lineups. We love clicking in that over wherever we're betting on Bones. But Clippers, not going to give him an extension. So set to become a restricted free agent next offseason. And really, Mike, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think Bones Highland is a guy that should be getting a contract extension, especially from a team like the Clippers, and where they sit kind of on the precipice, just looking into the abyss, not controlling their first round draft picks for the next number of years, aging Kawhi Leonard, aging James Harden, and a bunch of other pieces around them that we don't really know how they fit together yet.
My preference is gin martini, juniper berries. Zach, always stay healthy. I will bet you a gin martini he returns to Denver. I think he needs to embrace who he is. In college, Zach, he was almost two steals per game. He was a lethal defender there at VCU. Hasn't really materialized to that. His field goal percentage is dropping 38% last year. That's not who he is. His three-point shooting went down. He has to embrace the role. I feel like he's trying to become more than he really can be in the NBA, which I don't blame him. It's his career. But if he does that, I think he can be a very useful piece with the Nuggets, a la Russell Westbrook. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I couldn't have said it better myself. Got to embrace the role when you're a guy like Bones Highland, kind of in the trajectory that his career has taken here over the last couple seasons. You talk about career trajectories. Again, this hits close to my heart. Former Spur, Lonnie Walker IV, cut by the Celtics, which he was there on an Exhibit 10 contract. So he was already kind of behind the eight ball to get an actual contract with the Celtics to begin with. But out of the Celtics now, sources are saying Real Madrid is showing interest in Lonnie Walker. And Mike, I don't hate that for the young man. I mean, we've seen many an NBA player not just go overseas and have success there, right, and get maybe a little bit more money over there than you can find in the NBA at this point of Lonnie's career. But we've also seen guys go over there, spend a couple seasons, work on their game, and come back and have one, two, even three contracts. You talk about a guy like PJ Tucker, right? So yes. I think a move to the EuroLeague, especially to a club like Real Madrid, that could do wonders for Lonnie, no matter where he goes after that. I think it's good to see this in terms of him continuing his career.
When I was in college and we would play in the dorm, college football, Madden, you hit that start button and you get the refresh and replenish for your players. He needs a refresh and replenish. It's easy to root for Lonnie Walker. He's a nice guy. I like him. He's not a great scorer. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great three-point shooter. That's the thing with Lonnie Walker. Needs a refresh. Maybe he comes back and can find a role. Easy to root for, but this is the right move for Lonnie Walker.
Yep, I'm with you. Then two pieces of injury news. We've discussed both of these guys at length, both here on the Fast Break and on the Vestball streams on Fridays. Kawhi Leonard, my boy, my namesake, Mike, sidelined an indefinite amount of time to begin the regular season as he continues to rehab from the offseason knee procedure. Obviously, just constant knee swelling for Kawhi over the last, 7 or 8 years? So, we talked about this from a fantasy perspective a few weeks ago when he wasn't cleared at the start of training camp and how we pressed pause on drafting him where we were in our best ball drafts. But indefinite amount of time to start the season here, it does not inspire confidence. How worried are you about Kawhi and the Clippers here?
How worried am I? I just had my family NBA fantasy draft. And I mean, just read off the show sheet, Zach. I got Kawhi. I got Isaiah Hartenstein. I got Paul George. Yeah. I got Middleton. Enough of this stuff. I fell for it. I just don't. Listen, I don't get it anymore. I don't trust him. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10 times, I'm an idiot. Kawhi Leonard, it's very concerning. You can't tell me, even the biggest supporter of Kawhi Leonard, you can't tell me you're not concerned with an indefinite injury as we're heading into the start of the season. Very frustrating. I get it. Hall of Famer, no doubt. Just frustrating.
Yeah. So we'll keep our eye on that. And you say, man, you get fooled 10 times. Shame on that person too for taking advantage of a foolish person. I don't know. Chris Middleton though, right? You mentioned him.
Shame on you for this. You're the reason I took Middleton. I'm blaming you for this.
Hey, he is still one of my top five highest owned guys in the best ball drafts right now, but he will miss opening night for Milwaukee, continuing that ankle rehab. And I don't think has been cleared for 5-on-5 yet. Been doing all the individual drills, some other team drills, but 5-on-5, you got to be cleared for that to even think about getting back on the court. So I'm hoping, Mike, that we get a notification in the first 2 weeks of the regular season that Middleton is on the cusp of a return, because each day that passes, I'm feeling worse and worse about steering you and some of our friends onto Chris Middleton throughout the month of September.
You make the decision for this podcast. I'm making a respectful request that you call this podcast Chris Middleton Jenga Puzzle, because he is so critical to what the Bucks want to do. You can look at him and say, oh, they have Giannis, they have Dame. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. He needs to be on the floor. You know, when the game comes down to the end, Giannis is like Shaq in that it's not really a go-to guy. Shaq would go in the post. They'd foul him. Giannis will be at the top of the key and do the spin move to try to get the – we've been there, okay? They need Chris Middleton's reliability. Yes, I know Dame can make it from the parking lot. Fine. This is a critical injury. It has led me to already place Sixers -2.5, but we can get to that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. Let's talk some about the opening night slate here, right? Because, of course, the NBA is going to highlight two games here to start the season. They'll kick us off, or tip us off, rather, with Knicks and Celtics, and then we will get Wolves and Lakers as the nightcap. Let's talk real quick from a DFS perspective, because you know that I'm going to be in there on DraftKings, on FanDuel, in the FTN Fantasy Discord, getting ready for the slate on Tuesday. And comparing the two sites, Mike, I have long been a bigger fan of DraftKings and their daily fantasy offerings compared to FanDuel for a number of reasons. But when you look at this opening slate, for the main contest on DraftKings, $15 to enter, $750K prize pool with $200K to first. Over on FanDuel, they're one-upping DK over there. $800,000 in the prize pool. Their main tournament is $9 entry, $100K to first. So that's half of what they're doing on DK. But you know why? That's because they're paying out 50% of the field in this GPP. I believe there's some guaranteed overlay in there. So FanDuel making a little bit of a play, at least for my business tomorrow. And I might take them up on that. Again, 150 maxes in both of those. But do you, like, am I reading too much into this, or is FanDuel making a move?
No, they are. And listen, I get fired tomorrow. You can test me on this. The best person for DFS is sitting here to, I guess you're looking at it to my left, however, my right, whatever you want to say. You are, Zach. And I agree. The analysis is spot on. NBA DFS. I was really successful last year, had a great year overall, thanks in large part to everything you tell me. And then I go in the Discord that we have, our premium Discord here at FDN, and I turn around and message you privately. That's how this works. But I agree. The overlay, they're making a push. I love both sites. I like them both. Do I prefer DraftKings? Yes, I guess I'm with you. But I would tell you I had more of a success on FanDuel last year, and I love what they're doing. They're upping the game because we're upping our game here, of course, with the incredible optimizer and all the content and the charting and all the stuff that you're involved in here. So I'm with you. Shameless plug. Totally agree, and I can't wait to get started. I already have lineups in both.
So a couple of my favorite spend-ups here, Mike, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts as well. I know you said you made a couple placeholder lineups already. Starting on DraftKings, top spend-ups for me. The two that I had written down in our show doc was Anthony Davis, 9.4K, and then Karl-Anthony Towns at 7.8. And again, that would take up your center and your utility spots, so choosing between the two, if you don't want to go double center, is certainly a decision that will probably take some time. Towns, to me, probably going to pick up more of the ownership, and I'm not sure I'm concerned about that. Sub 8K for Karl-Anthony Towns, moving back into a center role, right? The last 2 years, playing next to Rudy Gobert, all you have to do is go to his player pages, wherever you like to get your NBA stats. And you can see the statistical downturn that he took over the last couple of years, not just playing next to Rudy Gobert, but also the ascension of Anthony Edwards. He's priced like he's still playing next to those two guys. And while Jalen Brunson is on the Knicks, right, and they have other guys that are going to command some usage, I think we're going to see a renaissance of sorts, statistically, fantasy-wise, for Karl-Anthony Towns this year. And I want to pounce while this price is still sub 8K. Sub 8K on both sites. We can go ahead and jump into FanDuel. Towns 7.9K over there. I think he might be my favorite play on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this. I agree with everything you just said. I just have found that some of my biggest mistakes have been passing on Anthony Davis in small slates because he can wreck it himself. But everything you said is spot on. This is a perfect spot for Towns. There's a bit of an unknown baked into his value, and I think he could slam. My issue that I'm seeing is I can't get away from Jalen Brunson. I can't then put Tatum in as well. I do like Josh Hart at 5,600 on DraftKings. So it's a tough fit. I will have lineups with AD and I will have lineups with Karl Anthony Towns. I agree. I love the value that Towns brings. I'm just worried about the 30-20 game for AD. That's the part that has happened to me so much, but completely agree. This could be the last time we see Karl Anthony Towns sub 8K for quite a long time.
Yeah. And I think right on DraftKings, you can play both. Then you're sacrificing, right? You can't put Brunson and Tatum in with both of those.
Hello, guys. Peyton Pritchard. That's
yeah,
exactly.
There you go, right? Maybe little Miles McBride. FanDuel. Both Brow and Cat center only. So you do have to make the decision there. And again, that's where I think the ownership going to absolutely be there on Towns, because 7.9K on FanDuel for Towns, over 10K for Anthony Davis. So to me, in one lineup makes my decision a little bit easier there. I'll take the savings with Towns, but it's going to be interesting to see how that ownership shakes out. And of course, we'll have our own ownership projections up hopefully by tonight, maybe Tuesday morning at the latest. But
Zach, the most critical part that people have to understand for the casual DFS fan to be watching is the ownership projections are absolutely critical. Mm-hmm. And we have the best in the business here, checking it out, knowing that you're having an advantage, knowing where the market is going to be higher than people think or lower is just so critical to hitting those big MME plays. So looking forward to it as well.
Yep. And we know all the success that MLB subscribers, NFL subscribers have seen with the GPP scores. So excited to continue to get those dialed in here on the NBA side. You kind of mentioned, right? You said Peyton Pritchard's name. I said Deuce McBride. The pricing is much tighter on DraftKings on Tuesday. So like some of my favorite values, you also brought up Josh Hart, right? 5.6K on DraftKings. I believe 5.9 over there on FanDuel. I think he's less necessary on FanDuel, although he is still strong. On DraftKings, I could see Josh Hart when we run our ownership projections here this evening. I could see him being projected as the highest owned player on this slate at 5.6K, right? You got to think about, this is a guy who was probably coming off the bench before that Julius Randle trade, or maybe we should call it the Karl Anthony Towns trade, but no Randle, no Dante DiVincenzo, right? So Miles McBride at 3.6K is another guy I think we have to look at on DraftKings, but Josh Hart going to probably play a ton of minutes, stuff the stat sheet, right? Rebounds, assists, couple stocks. If he's knocking down his shots, he's going to blow that price tag out of the water. And then Julius Randle should be and will be, I think, active for Minnesota. He played their last preseason game. Obviously, Gobert in front of a guy like Naz Reid in that front court as well. But Naz Reid, 4.9K on both sites. He's another guy, especially on DraftKings, that I'm looking to probably be over the field on just because of how efficient he can be fantasy-wise from a point-per-minute standpoint.
Yeah, Naz Reid is an anchor for me. He's at 4.9 on DraftKings. He even has, and I know this is so aesthetic, the little Q tag next to his name. I don't think it's a big concern at all. I think it was just something that's precautionary in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
I think his ownership's going to come in low. People forget how effective he was when one of the bigs were out with Minnesota. So he's a staple of my lineup. The Josh Hart call is great, and that's the one. He's in there now, and I want him in some lineups. But the concern is we are comparing Josh Hart, and people will expect his production that happened in the playoffs last year. And I don't know if that's the right move. I could easily see Josh Hart bombing in this particular situation, given the ownership that he has. And all of a sudden, Naz Reid, somebody like that, a Derek White, somebody comes up and has a monster game. You know, Derek White with his four threes and his three steals. And you're sitting there halftime going, I'm cooked, because Josh Hart's 0 for 7. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the exposure and the ownership is going to push me in that direction. I'm not surprised. I'm just not going to go to sleep tonight. I'll wait to get that ownership update from you at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Well, and maybe even a pivot on his own team, $300 cheaper, same position, OG Anunoby.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's good.
Also be a pivot on a two-gamer, right? You got to think about where you're going to get different, especially in these massive main GPPs on both sites.
Very hard. And Zach, very hard. Yeah. Given our debate that we've had, you know, Tatum versus Anthony Davis versus Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know how I pass on Miles McBride at 3,600 in DK. Yeah. I like that. You know he's going to play minutes. No Shamit. I mean, we can go down the line. Miles McBride, I think, has to be in there. And again, you need a lot less from Miles McBride to hit value than you do from Josh Hart at $2,000 more.
Yep, that McBride does open up a ton on DraftKings. And I will just mention as we move on here, Rui Hachimura, 4.2K on FanDuel. Peyton Pritchard, 4.1 over there. Much more friendly price than the 4.7 on DK.
And remember, Jaylen Brown said, he revealed it a week ago. Now, this is player speak, coach speak. I mean, you have to use the accuracy. But he said, like, they're going to run things through Peyton Pritchard a lot. Do I think it's going to happen on opening night? No. But if they're really going to run things through Peyton Pritchard when they play at Detroit, which was the team that he used, you would think that he would get good run in the first game. You would think that this would not be a TJ McConnell situation where he never played. I think if Pritchard is young enough that they're going to play him. So if that's true, and what Jaylen Brown said, that we're going to see more Pritchard in some of these more, you know, projected blowout games, yeah. I think we see him tomorrow night, in which case now he becomes a value, and maybe that means I can squeeze in AD and Karl-Anthony Towns, depending if I go with McBride, et cetera, in the backcourt. Go ahead.
It's going to be fun, man. Just a two-gamer, and then we're thrown right into the fire. Double-digit games on Wednesday, so can't wait for that. And speaking of the Wednesday slate, picking out a couple props, right, for your Prize Picks, FanDuel, not FanDuel, Underdog, wherever you're playing, Sleeper, Boom Fantasy, right? All kinds of choices. For tomorrow night's slate, I'm going to keep riding Karl-Anthony Towns in the prop market. I like the over 32.5 points plus rebounds. To me, right, 20 and 10 for Cat gets you right up to that number, and I think he can go over the 32.5. But then looking at the Wednesday slate, couple of those sites, right, Underdog, Prize Picks, those lines trickling out. Josh Giddey, you heard me talk about this kid before, right? We don't need to worry about any off-the-court stuff. His new situation there with Chicago, his PRA, Mike, set at 24.5. And if you bear with me here for a second, I had this pulled up earlier, right? You look at Josh Giddey this preseason, under 24 minutes per game, over 20 PRA. This is a guy who's going to play 30 plus minutes for this team. I love Josh Giddey over 24.5 PRA. This is one of the best lines on the board. If you ask me, and the other one I'll throw in there, DeJounte Murray in his new digs, over 7.5 assists in that one. You can actually get a nice little multiplier, I believe 1.07x, if you click that in over there on Underdog. If you haven't signed up at Underdog, promo code FTN, 100% deposit match bonus up to $1,000. How's that for a little professional shill?
Yeah, Zach, there's a couple things that you say that stick in my mind. I mean, the only person who affects me this much is my wife, okay? So you said the whole thing with Josh Giddey, and ever since you said that when we did the best ball draft together,
yeah.
I've been diving in deep on Josh Giddey. I'm going to go this far. I guarantee you this line hits for you, provided that there's no injury. I think it is such a brilliant call. I think the market is very low on Josh Giddey because of recency bias. He definitely has the skill set to ascend to this type of role. 24.5 PRA. I mean, he's going to hit. Imagine it's 2 threes in the first quarter. We're laughing. Yeah. I think this is such a great call. I have already hit it. I saw it on the show sheet and I hit it right away. I think you are right on. I think you are locked in. I think this one is a comfortable cover, and we are all sitting here cheering to you a glass of wine with this one. I think the Josh Giddey is a lock. I really do.
Well, let's hope that comes through, because I'm going to be heavily invested on Wednesday night. So let's go, unless you have any other props for Tuesday or Wednesday, I wanted to talk some futures too. I know we've given out some futures over the last month and a half here. I've got one, but I know you've got a little list here, so I want to turn it over to you. Talk to me about where you're looking here a day out from the regular season in the futures market.
Yeah, just a couple things that we talked about to recap here. I still think there's value on Oaks KC winning the West at plus 310. I'll take that. If it got below plus 300, I probably wouldn't, but I definitely think you're going to be 3-1 on what I saw with that team, with SGA. I love it. Even with the Hartenstein injury, I think he's going to be back. So 100%. By the way, we just got the notice right now. Chris Middleton out indefinitely. That's good. A lot of indefinitelys for the players I drafted in my family thing. That's fantastic here, Zach. Memphis at plus 1600, I believe. Give me G.G. Jackson back. Give me some of the players. Give me healthy Triple J. Fine. I just think this team, as long as Ja Morant's on the floor, Desmond Bane becomes better, everyone becomes better, Love the situation with Memphis, and I think they can absolutely make a deep run. We talked about the Magic. I'll go plus 2,500 to win the Eastern Conference. Zach, do I think they're winning the Eastern Conference? No. Do I think they can get far enough that I can hedge and guarantee profit? 100%. I love this team, and I love them on opening night as well. I'm taking the Knicks plus 5.5. This is not a future, but really a side. Also like the Sixers minus 2.5, and give me those Magic to make a statement against the Heat plus 2. So you have some better ones here. Those are just top of my head ones that I placed yesterday.
Dude, Magic 25-1 to win the Eastern Conference. Again, I'm with you, right? We don't think they're going to win, but the odds there are, that's pretty darn nice.
Get to the semis, Zach. We'll figure a way to get a profit. Just get to the, you know, get to the semifinals. It's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. So the only one that I wanted to add in, right? Of course, I've got my futures article still up on ftnfantasy.com. So you can go read that on the site. But the one I wanted to add here today, Rudy Gobert is plus 105 to be first team all defense. Mikey has been first team all defense 7 of the last 8 seasons, and Karl Anthony Towns is out of there, right? Julius Randle in there next to him, but Rudy Gobert is not all of a sudden going to become a poor defender. He is the reigning defensive player of the year. And while I think Victor Wembanyama would have to get hurt and miss, you know, he would have to go behind that 65 game threshold to not win this award this year, we don't have positions for all defensive teams. There was 4 centers on the team last year, and I think Rudy Gobert at plus 105 is a pretty damn good bet to make on making it 8 out of 9 years on the first team all defense.
Brilliant. You're getting plus money. That's not going to last. Give us 24 hours. It's not going to last. And here's the one I'll go even better, and I know I'm biased with this. If Wemby gets hurt for some, and I hope he doesn't, for your sake, for all of our sake, everyone's sake, I think Bam Adebayo is going to be the defensive player of the year. I really do. I've said it. I think he's due, and there's going to be fatigue with Gobert. There's going to be Gobert. I don't want to hear this anymore. He is a great player. He is a Hall of Famer. He is not a guy who's going to win this award 4 or 5. I can't deal with it anymore. So please, let's get out of here. I like Bam Adebayo as a long shot, but again, it's dependent upon Wemby getting hurt, which I don't want to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's close it out here. A little stock up, stock down. And like I hinted at earlier in the episode, I came back into this sheet. You and I had the exact same things for both our stock up and stock down. So let's start with the stock down, right? And let's talk about the WNBA finals here for a few minutes, because again, we talked about it off the top. First WNBA final series to go the distance in league history, if I'm not mistaken. And we were just treated to numerous awesome games, whether it's the game one comeback from 18 down for the Lynx, right? They go down big and lose game two. So it's like, okay, right, is this going to be over in 4? Because you get down 15-plus in the first 2 games, whether you come back and win or not, that's not a great sign. Then Sabrina wins it at the buzzer in Game 3, but the Lynx were in it. They come back, they force Game 5. And then last night, controversial ending, which leads me into my stock down. The Liberty take it on an awful shooting night. I think Sabrina Ionescu, 1 of 19, I believe, if I remember that correctly, and they still get the win. Congrats to the Liberty, and stock down to Coach Cheryl Reeve for the Lynx, because I just want to read this quote and then toss it to you, because I know you've got things to say about this. Controversial calls down the end, yes, but Coach Reeve comes to the playoff game, the post-game press conference, and I know you're amped up. I know it's emotional, but she says, I know all the headlines will be Reeve cries foul, but bring it on. Because this shit was stolen from us. And again, I understand the sentiment as a coach, as a former college player, and I'm a highly emotional guy. I get it. But to me, Mike, this is just not something you can say. And whether you're correct or not, I think it's a bad look to immediately go and say, we would have won if it weren't for the officials. What? Sabrina Ionescu, did the officials make her go 1 for 19 and you guys not be able to get over that hump? I just think it's not the way to go. I would have decided against that if I were in her shoes. What are your thoughts on this?
Cheryl, terrible job. Terrible job. I don't want to hear about it. You had Stewart play poorly. You had Ionescu play poorly. You're on the road. Get it done. I don't want to hear about this. I can't stand that. This was brilliant basketball. It was a great 5-game series. WNBA, nothing but positivity. I can't wait for the season to start next year. That was exciting. The Garden was rocking. They had never won a title. Yeah, I told you a month ago I thought they're going to win. The point is, I think that is such sour grapes. You don't do that. We've seen this time and time again. They beat you. They beat you. They had home court advantage, and they beat you at home. You had a chance to put them away. And you know what, Cheryl? Let me tell you this. if you were home the night before and I told you Sabrina Askew shooting 1-19, you would be polishing that trophy. Get it done. You got every possibility. It's nothing to do with calls. And I was arguing on social media about this as well. I don't want to hear about it. Williams had a bad game for the Lynx as well, and she's an amazing player. Enough. You had the chances. Didn't get it done. Zip it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then, again, our stock up, right? Congrats to the Liberty, because this is a franchise that is one of the original franchises in the W. And to be 2024, right? The W started last century. Mm-hmm. And to just be getting your first championship now on their sixth trip to the finals. Congrats to them. Congrats to Sabrina. Congrats to Breonna Stewart, Jonquel Jones, everybody involved with that team. Kayla Thornton, Courtney Vandersloot, right? The Liberty fans, congrats to the WNBA on a fantastic series, and congrats to the Lynx. Even in their losing effort, you push the Liberty to five games. They were underdogs to even make a final series, certainly before the season, but really all the way up until the week before they made the finals. This was something that nobody had predicted coming into the season. And this is a team that if they can keep this core together and Nafisa Collier continues her ascension, this is a team that is going to compete at the top of the W for a number of years to come. So all in all, a fantastic season. Congrats to the Liberty and congrats to the Lynx, even in the loss. They pushed the Liberty to the brink, and I think they are to be commended, the players, for their effort they put in all season.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see the Liberty win. I was flipping off the NFL. I was flipping off the NLCS. Wanted to see the ending of this game, and it really played out perfectly. Cheers to the Liberty. It was a great atmosphere, a great title. Of course, New York, one of the original franchise, WNBA, finally gets a title. I'm thrilled. I also love, Zach, I want to say at the end of the game, regulation, Stewart had missed two free throws. She goes to the basket. I thought it was a foul. I absolutely thought it was a foul. A lot of people didn't. Here's the thing. It was close enough. And in those situations, I want the call to not determine the game. Sure. Stewart had missed two free throws, send her to the line. She doesn't make both of those. It was 3 seconds left, whatever it was in regulation. Yeah. They lose. So give her a chance. It was close enough. It wasn't an egregious call. It was a bang, bang play. You know, was she moving into her? I don't know. But it was the right. It's good for the game. It's the good for the game call. It was good for the game that she got those two free throws and she made them. So she doesn't feel guilty, of course, all off season. It was good for the game that we got overtime. And it was good for the game in the WNBA at the Liberty won. I'm sorry. You don't want to hear that. That is the truth, Minnesota Lynx. Great job by you. Cheers to the Liberty. It was a great night for women's basketball, growing at an exponential rate. Super exciting. Can't wait for next year.
Yeah, and the storylines that we're going to get coming into next year, the Lynx and the Liberty and how they feel slighted, right? They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. Are the Aces going to be able to revitalize their team? They've got some cap and contract situations coming up to handle this offseason. And then, of course, the Connecticut Sun hanging around. Are the Storm going to retool? We've got expansion coming. It's a good time to be a WNBA fan and a good time to be a basketball fan. NBA starts tomorrow. College hoops coming. Mike, anything else for you before we shut it down?
Basketball couldn't be at a higher point right now. I can't wait. And I mean, there's a lot of people missing, switching teams in all the leagues, but I'm excited about it. Hoop is hoop. And I can't wait to see the strategy and everything coming up here. Of course, NBA tipping off tomorrow night. I'll be staying up late. Miles McBride, do I play him? Drew Holiday, is it going to be a slow, sort of sloppy start? We go with Drew with the stocks. These are the decisions that I couldn't wait to make, and it happens tonight, Mr. Graham.
Appreciate everybody tuning in, sticking with us here on episode 15 of The Fast Break. If you haven't signed up yet for FTN Fantasy, get in here. 20% off with the promo code FTN Hoops. Come sign up. Come check out what we've got going here to start the season. And we'll be back on Thursday. Fast Break's now twice a week, Monday and Thursday, the rest of the NBA regular season. So we'll see you guys later this week. Enjoy the opening night games, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Until then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye.